Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Father, I want to thank you for each one here this morning. I pray, Father, please, that you will just touch each heart. Father, I pray that each one of us will hear what you have for us personally to hear today, that you will accomplish the purposes and the plans that you have for us in this place today. Father, this place has been designated as holy ground because you are in our midst, because we are your people, because we have come to worship you. We've come to feed on the bread of life, the Lamb of God. We've come, Father, to be encouraged, and we've come, Father, to build each other up that we might be the people that you've called us to be in a lost, dying, and dark world. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. The title of the message today is Household of Faith. The church is an egalitarian, yes, I said egalitarian, church or society. And what that means is this, is that we are to treat each other equally, that there's no social, economic, or racial preferences because we are of the household of God. Let me say that one more time. We are an egalitarian society. In other words, we are to treat each other equally with no social, economic, or racial preferences because we are the household of faith. We need to understand that. We need to not take that lightly. We need to understand it, take it to heart, because there's great joy in that. There's great privilege in that. There's great, if you will, power in that through Christ when we're the household of faith that God intends for us to be biblically. And 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2 is an example of how we're supposed to interact with each other. At that first step, it says, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, with all purity, with every pure motive, without anything that's of wrong motive. We are to love each other. We're to respect the men that are older than us as like our fathers. Now, granted, you know, there's some of you that are a couple years older than me. If I said to you, you're my dad, might not go over very well. But we know that there are those that are significantly older that might be in the range of the age of my dad. That's okay, but you understand what's being said there. We're to treat each other like the older or like our fathers, and that the younger men are our brothers. You know, the term brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, you know, kind of sound of churchy and out of sync with where we are today in society or even in churches. Some churches still use that. That's fine. But the heart should always be behind that and recognizing that younger men are our brothers. And we are to look at them that way as a younger brother. And that older women can be looked at as moms, mothers, that are there to mentor the younger women and to help, right? And the younger sisters. And to treat the young women in our church like they're our little sisters. The idea is very clear that we're to be a family, just as we are at home. When the mother, father, the kids, the grandparents, the cousins, whomever, we have that tie, we have that relationship, and we respect one another, we love one another, at least we ought to, in our own personal families, and we're there for each other. Because why? Because we are family. That's what God intends for us. We are the family of Christ. We are of the household of faith. Now, household is going to be a dominant phrase throughout this message. Because, of course, the message again is entitled The Household of Faith. But household is real important. We take that sometimes in a very personal way, and we should. But we are also to take that in a biblical way. Paul looked at brothers and sisters in Christ in various ways through his ministry. He always looked at them with love. Sometimes he was in pain. He was burdened for his brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes he was instructional with his brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes he was just and always with love and building them up and encouraging them and trying to help them. But he recognized the people of God, his brothers and sisters in Christ, that were spread all over. Okay, but I want us to consider the household that we're going to look at here. 2 Timothy 4:19 says, "Greet Prisca, and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus." Now, Prisca and Aquila were very, very dear to Paul because they were tent makers. And they were the ones that first took Paul in and helped him and encouraged him in the faith, and in a very simple way took the time to disciple him as a new Christian. But it says, and the household of Onesiphorus. We're not just talking about his physical family. We're talking about the believers that are there in the house of Onesiphorus. That's what Paul's focus is here. And we know that in the early days, the church was in homes. It wasn't in local buildings and locations like we have today. So he said, greet Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Philippians 4:21 and 22 says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. We are to have that connective tie because we are believers in Christ. The brethren who are with me greet you. Paul's saying, hey, I want you to know that all the saints that are with me here are greeting you too in Philippi. Okay, all the saints greet you, but especially those who are of the, again, who are of Caesar's household. There were, when Paul was in prison, do you think he shared the gospel with the guards that were chained to him? You bet. It was like, wow, Lord, they're not going nowhere, and they can't. They're mine. I'm going to talk to them. Right? And then the people that were in there as well, the servants, whomever. And so he's saying, look, the Christians that are in the praetorium, in the dwelling place of Caesar that I know that is there, greet them also. In 1 Corinthians 1:16, it says, yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. And what he's saying here that's very unique about the house of Stephanas is that he was had the privilege of baptizing that entire family because of their newfound faith in Christ. And he said, I don't believe that there's any other family that I had the privilege of doing that with. And so he wants to greet them, but the household of Stephanas. Remembering, these are believers, right? Romans 16:10-11, greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my countrymen. Greet those who are of the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Now, do you think Paul was being just socially polite here? Do you think that he meant what he was saying? Of course. Do you think he had a real concern and love for brothers and sisters in Christ? Sure. Do you think that the greeting was that he wanted to encourage them? Sure. But the common denominator again here is that he's focusing on the household of faith in each of these locations and wanting to encourage them. Why? Because he, like every other believer, we are united in Christ. We know that if you take the term loosely, if you will, universally, as the universal body of Christ. Christians around the world throughout the ages, the body of Christ. But even more so in the time that he was alive and those that he knew. But I want us to consider a verse that's real important concerning the household of God. Ephesians 2:19 says, now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. I think that is such a blessing to hear that those who felt like strangers, whether they're outcasts from their families. You know, when I became a Christian, my family thought that I was in a cult because I was, quote unquote, born again in Christ. And they didn't understand that terminology. And there was a certain outcast, even though I knew the love was there, there was a certain distance and separation because they weren't believers at that time, but I was. And so you can feel isolated, definitely isolated. There are those that have come into our church from different parts of the world over the years, and they're foreigners. But in your grace and in your love and our love and grace as a church family, we extended that love to them. We welcomed them into our church. I mean, we had those times, I think we had about 7 different ethnic representation of people in our church at one time. And I think God loves that because the idea is that through the body of Christ, we are not segregated. We are not separated. We are not isolated. We are not estranged from each other, but we are the body of Christ, the household of faith. And so we are to rejoice in that. Therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. We should take that with a greater genuine focus for the importance of being the household of God. Because it's not just an assembly. It's not just our church on the corner we come on Sunday. It's the household of faith. The household of the believers. No more strangers and foreigners, but members of the household of God. I want to tell you that we as a church family have done that very, very well. Whether people have come in that were mentally not stable, if we've had people that have come in that felt estranged because they're poor, a different ethnic group, different financial status, it doesn't matter. We have received people lovingly, respectfully, as part of the family of God. And I praise God for that. But I want us to look at 1 Timothy 5:8. It says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Now, you and I, the first thing that we're most likely to think of when we think of that passage of Scripture is to think about the father, the man of the house, saying, look, if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an infidel. If you don't take care of your household, you're worse than an infidel. Infidel means an unbeliever. And we've always taken that as, okay, the responsibility of a man to take care of his family. That's absolutely important and absolutely true, but we've isolated it to the personal family and not to the household of faith. And that's where we've missed some of the mark. Because when we miss that mark, we miss the opportunity of hearing what God has for us, what assignments God has for us as a church family, a household of faith, to do in his kingdom work. We are to look at this in a dual way. We're to look at this as the household also being the household of faith in the church. We've got a responsibility to our own families to take care of them. What are we like in our own families? I mean, that sounds like a redundant question, but we're involved in each of our kids' lives and our spouses' lives. We know what's going on with our family. Well, we should be doing that with our church family because we're the household of faith. We should be able to go beyond being somewhat socially connected to being more deeply connected by allowing us or us allowing others to step into our world of our lives and vice versa. And we know that a lot of us are concerned, say, you know what? My life, my family, my situation is my thing and it's private and nobody else needs to know. There are some things that, granted, Scripture says we shouldn't be telling other people just off the cuff out in the open. But then we also know that Scripture says that, you know what? If we have a situation that we should seek out that person that God has put in our life that is a mature Christian that we can trust, that we can say, I have an issue here, I have a concern here, I have a prayer need here, I need you to pray with me about this situation. But it's just like in our family. I went to my wife and said, Kathy, I've got a burden. Would you help me by praying with me about this? Or what do you think? And get feedback. Or those types of things. We're very good as a church. If there are people that are in financial need, if we have the financial resources, we will step out and try to help them. We're very good about that. But that's not the entirety of being a family. The entirety of being a family is allowing us to intersect in each other's lives personally so that we can be there if we can become more aware of what the needs are, whether they be physical needs of material things, or whether it be emotional support, or whether it be spiritual encouragement, or whatever, that we can interact that way, because that brings the strings and the ties of our church family closer together. But God actually holds us responsible as the household of faith to be involved and connected with each other so we can help each other and hold each other also accountable to walk with God, so that we can have the freedom to even make a commitment together to say, look, their family, we're going to be right there for them to help them. If they start to struggle or fall away, we're family. We're not only going to be praying for them, but we're going to be able to step right up and be there to catch them and to help them and to lift them up, because isn't that what we do in our normal families?
That's what we're supposed to do in our church family, biblically. And that ties us closer together. And as we encourage each other to be that much more focused, not for the personal things in our lives, but tied together more, that we're helping each other to be more focused on our walk with God, our relationship with God, and the calling that God has on our lives, then we as a church body will be used that much more effectively for God's kingdom. We will have and recognize as a church body the mission or the tasks or the assignments that God has for us to receive together. Instead of me coming as a pastor and saying, I think God is leading us this way, and that's okay, but it's so much better to come together as a church family and to know the Holy Spirit's working through us and confirming through us and saying, you know what, we all are on the same page here, that the Spirit of God is leading us to do what this is that God has for us to do. Fill in the blank. And we come together in unity in that, and we do that. If anyone does not provide for his own, that applies to the church family. That's not just the finances, it's the emotional, physical, spiritual, all of that, just like at home. And especially for those of his household, our own homes and in this household. Because when we became a Christian, and even more so as God has placed us here. Scripture says that God has placed each one of us here as it has pleased him. And he's made us that body together here, a unique body of believers. We all know the passage of Scripture that talks about the body and that each member has its own place in the body. That, you know, not everybody can be an eye, not everybody can be a foot, not everybody can be a hand, and so forth. But we also know that if we were to lose a part of our body, a limb of our body, or lose our eyesight, or have something cut out of our body, or whatever, it affects the whole body. We need to understand that when we are hurting, or when we're withdrawing, or we're not being included in the church family as a household of faith, we're hurting the body that God has put here. And I don't know about you, but when my body hurts, I'm not as functional. I get limited in my functionality, if you will. And the church gets limited in that as well. Because God placed us, united us as a one body in character, our own personality as a church, to be his people, to be that household of faith, holding each other up, involved in each other's lives, praying for each other, rescuing each other when we're going through difficult times, all these types of things. God holds us responsible for as the household of faith, not just our own private households. And that's why it's so important that we connect and that we are open and that we are a connected family, that we can walk out and say, you know what, I'm not just simply, this is my family of God, and I identify it this way, but like the girl on the video, what did she say? We're a family. It's just overwhelming, this sense of community that I find in this church that has just, what did she say? She said, I can't tell you the joy, right? That's what we're supposed to be. But it takes connection. She said, when someone's in need or needs help or whatever, the people are just right there. Or people are encouraging or coming alongside because we're paying attention to each other, because we're aware of each other's lives, that we see someone struggle, we can come up alongside and say, put our spiritual arm around them, put our physical arm around them, and say, I'm here for you. That's family. And so if anyone does not provide for his own, we're called to provide for this family in many different ways, and especially for those of his household, he has, what, denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. When you and I don't take care of each other in the ways I've already said a couple of times in this church as a household of faith, when you and I are not willing to be that family connected and intertwined with each other, we are not exercising the faith and we're acting like an unbeliever. That's what he's saying. We need to be that loving family in a greater depth. In a greater depth. So that we can be bonded that closer together. So we can be that spiritual unity that we can have the sensitivity and the responsiveness to the Holy Spirit, not only in our personal lives, but as a collective body of believers in this church, to know the assignments and the mission and the purposes that God has for us, and to find that exhilarating and exciting to be involved in. That's what God wants for his church. We are responsible for those in the household of faith. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. We're to love people, lost and saved, right? But especially, underscore that, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we already know this fact, but we're going to be living together forever. And we're to represent that here on earth too, as a family. Do good to all men, especially those that are of the household of faith. Now this is what we're called to do in action. Connect with one another because we are of the household of faith. Build each other up because we are of the household of faith. Love each other because we are of the household of faith. Unify together because we are the household of faith. It transcends our own families at home. It is absolutely a responsibility that God has given us as a family. And the more we wrap around that, not just intellectually, but the more we wrap around that spiritually and practically and actively in our family, the more we will see the power and the wonder of God working in and through us for his glory and his kingdom. And not being that hinders that. So that's the challenge. We are the household of faith. We have a responsibility to it. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for your word, the truth of your word, your love, your plan, your purposes, the blessings that you have in store for us as we walk with you together, as we love each other and support each other and encourage each other and help each other and rescue each other and unite together and be your people in a greater way. I pray, Father, that you would lovingly and clearly stir this on our hearts more, that would become much more of a practical reality in our church family, that we'll see the ties that bind us together, that the world will know us by your love, or our love, and your love in us. And Father, that it might reflect you in your name and glorify you. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.